Last month's mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida prompted the president to call for more attention to mental health. And that is a common response to these violent events: Sandy Hook, Columbine, Las Vegas, the theater shooting in Colorado, and so many more. So how should we think about mental health in the wake of tragedies like these? With us now is Michigan State University psychiatrist, Dr. Farhah Abbasi. Dr. Abbasi, as a psychiatrist, what do you make of the way the president and members of Congress and the media and more talk about mental health when one of these mass shooting happens?
Cindy, this is the biggest concern as a mental health provider. Anytime you're associating mental illness with violence, this is a distortion. It's a notion which has high perception but low probability of happening. And it not only deepens but darkens the stigma. And you will end up isolating and stigmatizing an already vulnerable population.
But then what do you say to people who say, well, wait, the guy who went into a school with an AR-15 and shot 17 people and killed them, if that's not a crazy person, then I don't know who's crazy. What are they getting wrong? What does rhetoric like this do?
Look up the numbers. Simply look at the data. 95% of gun violence that's happening in this country is not associated with mental illness. On the other hand, people who do suffer from these disorders, they end up being the victim of violence, high chance of them being the victim than perpetrator. If we look at the overall violence rate in those who we consider severely mentally ill, these are the people who might be hearing commands or having delusions or really have a disconnect from reality. Even if we look at that violence, the numbers are minuscule, maybe 3 to 4% become that violent. The high risk in this population actually is turning this violence inwards. So if we look at the data for the suicides that are completed, most of them are using guns to hurt themselves. So if, as a mental health provider, if any context that I was worried about mental illness and guns, that's more for their own safety and protection.
Okay. So when we hear that kind of rhetoric, as you're saying, we are just deepening, and I love that word you use, darkening, the stigma surrounding mental health issues.
Yes. And it's a complex and a tragedy and issue. You can't simplify human behavior in just one word and say, this is mental illness. When you look at the causes of violence, what's the biggest cause? Trauma. What is other cause? Substance abuse. What is other problems? Social stressors. What about poverty, homelessness, low education, unemployment? But you don't come out and say everybody who's homeless is violent. You don't say everybody who's unemployed is going to get violent. No, those are all vulnerable populations. When put in traumatized situations, there is a possibility for any one of us in that situation to become impulsive and act out violently. But I would simplify it in one word: hurt men, hurt men. If we want to find a common thread in all this violence, there's just one simple thing we have to look into: exposure to violence.
Expand on that a little bit more. Give us a for instance that you've kind of seen perhaps in your practice to kind of give us a sense of when you say hurt men, what that means.
So, Cindy, if you look at the profile of all this campus shootings, or terrorism, what is a common thing we find? That these kids, these youth, have been exposed to either physical, sexual, or mental abuse. That's the only common thread. Other factors are involved too, but one common thread is their exposure to violence.
Hmm. You know, as Americans, Dr. Abbasi, we are by now no strangers to mass shootings and violent events and all the conversation and debate that we hear afterward. So as a mental health professional, do you see any trends about how public officials and media use mental health when they talk about the perpetrator and when they don't, you know, in understanding the why?
I mean, I think whenever we want to step away from making responsible, informed decisions, if we are going to just turn it about political rhetoric, and if it becomes like me winning against you versus what's better for the public. So one thing is politics have to stay out of policy. Policies have to be implemented for the benefit of everyone, and they have to take into account all the vulnerable populations and all the possible scenarios in which I pointed out earlier. Trauma is a big thing. I want these politicians to know what trauma is. I want them to know what do they mean when they say throw the word mental illness. What do they understand? Mental illness also is a spectrum. You can have acute situational stressors. You can have mild to moderate depression. You can have schizophrenia and still be very functional. You know what changes the dialogue? That if you think mental illness is the problem, then get them into treatment. You should have better policies. What are we seeing is we do not have enough beds, and they continue to close down psychiatric hospitals. We have no parity. The insurances don't give you the same coverage. And what does the statistics show? That those who are mentally ill, when are in treatment, their chances of hurting themselves or hurting others are decreased. There is none or non-existent then, the chances to hurt themselves.
Dr. Farah Abbasi, MSU psychiatrist, as always, your insights are very, very welcome, and you've given us a lot to think about. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Cindy. This is a topic I'm really passionate about.